Genesis chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3, and Jeremiah chapter number 4, verses 23 through 25, titled, Release Me and Let It Flow. Perhaps one of the biggest and the ongoing debates is a debate between the scientific community and the saints of God. And that debate centers around how we got here. I don't mean who's your daddy. Not Jerry Springer stuff. When I say how did we get here, what I'm referring to is who created you. We are taught evolution. We're taught we're from a monkey. We're taught you're from a tadpole. We're taught the Big Bang Theory, where everything came together and splash, and somehow man came out of rock splashing. I don't understand that one. But it makes no difference what you are taught. You have the Word of God. That is the truth as to how we got here. While I celebrate the discussions that scientists and the saints are having, the truth of the matter is I don't need someone to tell me my history. I know that my history is his story. And so for me to understand where I came from, I must understand his story. How else can you explain if you wasn't created by God? Think about it. The world is covered with approximately 93% water. Somehow the water will move, but God says stop at the seashore and it stops right there. What stopped the water from moving is God. How can you explain winter, spring, summer, and fall? How can you explain day and night? How can you explain a galaxy that is spending approximately 490,000 miles per hour, but you don't feel it right now? Certainly a man didn't create all of this. So in order for us to understand, in the beginning, God created. Now, when the Bible declares that God created, the word created means to speak something out of nothing. In other words, God didn't redo it again. He says, it is so, and it became. There was nothing here. Now, the reason that I wanted you to read Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 23 and 25, is because I want to inject something in your Bible. I want you with clean Bibles to write something in your Bible. If you ever want to know a person's relationship with God, look at what's written in their Bible. No, don't look to your neighbor right now. If they don't have anything written in the Bible, don't do that. Don't mess them up like that. So here it goes. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we're wise enough, smart enough, intelligent enough to know that whatever God creates, it is good. Because he later said it was good. Amen. So God created the heavens, more than one, heavens and the earth. When God created the heavens and the earth, everything was good. Everything was in order. Now, before God created the heavens and the earth, it already existed. And God already existed. He just spoke it into being. He just manifested, but it was already here. You got it? Now, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then that's verse number one, then you look at verse number two, and it says, and the earth was without form. Now, if God created something, how could it be without form? How could it then be void? If God created it, when he created, he placed there what he needed to place there. How can it then be void, meaning empty? And where God is, there is light. So how can darkness now be upon the face of the deep? Mm-hmm. What's deep? There's nothing here but heaven and earth. So what is deep? Okay? Now, and then it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of what?
Waters.
Now, when you think about waters, you think about the depth of water. But that's not what the Bible declared. The Bible declared, now, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, when God created the heavens and the earth and everything was fine, and then all of a sudden, what you see in verse number 2 is what appears to be the aftermath of war. What happened between verse number 1 and verse number 2 to make everything all of a sudden dark and void? Now, what you read was Jeremiah 4:23 through 25. And in essence, what Jeremiah 4:23 through 25 speaks of, Jeremiah talks about the same thing that is recorded in the book of Genesis. And in addition to talking about the same thing that is recorded in the book of Genesis, what Jeremiah also includes, and what I want you to get this morning, is that, listen to verse number 25. Verse number 25, Jeremiah 4:25. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. Adam has not been created yet. There was no man, and all the birds of heaven had fled away. Now, when you read your Bible and it makes reference to birds, quite often what it makes reference to is angels. Okay? I know I'm taking a lot of time this morning teaching, but I think this is very important. There's something in the Bible that is called laws of first origin. The laws of first origin is whatever God meant, He'll also explain it the first time that He said it. Okay? So be a little patient with me right now. And so what Jeremiah teaches is that all of the angels had fled away. Now, the angels fled away, but God still hasn't created Adam yet. What he's referring to is the angels or Lucifer. When God was, Lucifer came after God. When Lucifer came after God, he was the chief musician. Not only was he's the chief musician, he had the power to persuade one third of the angelic body to follow him. So when God kicked him out of heaven, it was because he had a following. Be careful when you deal with people who have a following. When you start dealing with people who has a following, we call them flunkies. When you start dealing with people who have flunkies, they will sometimes sub their egos. They will sometimes make themselves believe that they're more than what they really are. So Satan got the big head and God kicked him out of heaven. Now, if Satan got the big head and God kicked him out of heaven, do you think that you can live with the big head and ever go into heaven?
All right.
See, that's why you got to come to God and you got to be humbled. When God says, come to me, he says, come to me humbled, understanding that I am God and there's no other that is like me.
All right.
And so what God began to do is to deal with Satan, and Satan convinced one third of the angels to follow him. Now, if Satan can convince one third of the angels to follow him in the presence of God, don't you be surprised when folk turn their back on you. If they turn their back on God, looking at God in the presence of God, and you're not God, you're just his creation. If people turn away from God, don't you know your so-called friends sometimes will turn away from you? And so here it is. God says, okay, I'm not going to compete with Satan. He simply kicked him out of heaven onto this earth. And what came with Satan was one third of his followers. And so here it is, what was all paradise and what God had created that was perfect. Now you have the heavens and you also have an earth. Because sin can't dwell in heaven. So God kicked Satan out, or Lucifer as he was known at the time, kicked him out of heaven. And when he kicked him out of heaven, when God did that, what you see is verse number 2, and then the earth was void. Do you understand how it got there now?
Amen.
So it wasn't so much God created the heavens and the earth, and then God made a mistake by leaving something dark and leaving something void and leaving something empty. What you see is the aftermath of Satan getting kicked out of heaven. And so as a result of that, now the world is all messed up. And so even though there were no man, there were still birds or angelic beings. Remember, God is a spirit. When God created Lucifer, Lucifer was not a man. He was created as a spirit. So no man exists. However, spirits did exist.
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah.
Very important. Okay, so now Satan is kicked out of heaven. He's on the earth. He has with him 1/3 of the angels that followed him. And so what God does at this time is God looks at mankind that didn't exist in terms of being, but God knew what was on his mind. Everything that God does is motivated by love. Love is that expression in which God lives out of. And so here it is, 1/3 of the angels that God created would not follow him. And God said, well, I'll create something or someone that is a little lower than angels.
Amen.
But if they'll humble themselves to me, I'll take what appears to be nothing and do supernatural stuff with them. That's how you came into play.
All right.
See, you were created a little lower than an angel. But what God knows about you is within you is the power or willingness to submit to him. And so because God knows that about you, in verse number 3, look at what it says. And God said, let there be what?
Life.
Now, I got to deal with something very briefly. Because if we're not careful, we'll look over it. What the Bible declares and what God says is God said, that's what your Bible reads, right? Let there be.
Mm-hmm.
Who's he talking to? Now, I don't think God has just been living for trillions of years and the old man is just senile and he doesn't know what to do and he's just in heaven and he's just talking to himself. No, that's not the issue. That's not the issue. So when God said, let there be, the word let implies that there's resistance that is stopping something from flowing. Would you agree? Do you see that?
Yeah.
And so God is saying, after I kicked Satan out of heaven, something was blocking the flow.
All right, now.
You got to get this more. Now, because something is blocking the flow when Satan gets kicked out of heaven, when people leave your life, they quite often will try to block your flow.
Yeah.
When you put friends, so-called friends, out of your life, and you wonder why things are not flowing, it's because you told them too much. They know where to hit you. They know how to hit you. They know how to stand in the gap and block things, because not only did you tell them your dreams, you also shared with them your fears. So everything now is blocked. And God said, let there be. Now, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So from day one, second one, there was always God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
They always existed together. They go back zillions and zillions and zillions of years, but they've always been together.
Amen.
Watch this. Now, even though they all have been together, they had different roles. So Jesus could not be a manifested Jesus until his time. The Holy Spirit couldn't show up until Jesus died on the cross, and then it became his time to come. Sometimes God will put something in you, but if you get ahead of God, you will mess up the timing of stuff. Now, God is still going to bless you, but he's going to wait until you get in the right place. And so what God is interested in is not your natural abilities or your spiritual gifts that he gave you. What he's first interested in is your willingness to be humbled to him. And so God says, let there be light. In other words, what he's saying is, here's my permissive will. My permissive will is for me to show up in a dark world. God, who is light, says, let there be. In other words, I permit myself to show up on earth that is without form, that is void, that is darkness upon the face of the earth. Remember, God has you in mind. Watch this in verse number 2. And the Spirit of God moved. When you watch an eagle or a bird, and you see how they hover over their young ones, God is hovering over you. Your problems that you're going through, and you feel all alone, God is saying, I'm flying right up above you, baby. I got you covered. You better believe I never leave you, never forsake you. I know you're going through something and you can't see me with the natural eye because you keep looking down, worrying about yourself. And God is saying, if you just look up, that's where I am. Just look to the hill which cometh my help. You got to know all of your help comes from the Lord. And so what God is saying is, let there be light. There's a permissive will that God has. In other words, in closing this morning, what God is saying is that I created the heavens and the earth, and even though mankind rebelled against me, resisted what I wanted, now I'm about to release what it is that I want you to have. You see, whenever people rebel against you, you need to know that rebellion is a setup for God release. You need to know that if you're going through something and you feel no release whatsoever, or you feel no resistance whatsoever, you got to know that you're on the wrong path. Whenever God has something in store for you, you better believe that somebody or something will always come against you. That's why you can't just walk into your blessings. That's why in order for you to get in your blessings, you're beat up, you're bad credit, and everything else. But that's how you get there, because God wants you to press in. You see, if you don't have those issues in life, then you just walk to God. And God is saying, no, baby, I'm God all by myself. I'm the creator. I don't need you to walk just proudly to me. He says, I need to, for you to come to me boldly, but boldly understands that I'm coming, but I'm coming with mercy in mind. I'm coming with meekness in mind. That's why God allows us to go through stuff. And as we go through stuff, God is saying, I'm not going to break you. I'm just going to bend you to your knees. And when you get on your knees, then you'll understand that I'm up to something. When you get on your knees, then you'll understand I'm about to release something in your life. I know it's been bored in your life, and I know it's been dark going through the valley. But when you were going through the valley, you need to know that God was still on the mountaintop. He's still able to make ways out of no way. He's still able to move you to where you need to be. And so God will allow you to go through something. And as you begin to go through something, God is saying, this is the setup, baby, for me to release in you the blessings that I have in store. Now, God says, I'm going to release it. Now, when I release it, I need for you to understand you're just a vessel. So don't get cute and go against God when he bless you. When God gives you a talent, don't use it against God. See, Lucifer thought, now I'm God by myself. I don't need God no more. I can do this and I can do that. God will sometimes allow you to be in a position where you think you're doing it all by yourself. You know, the truth of the matter is, the only thing I can do right by myself is jack up something. That's all I'm qualified to do. And guess what? That's all of us is qualified to do. That's why God says every step that you take, he says, you need me. And that's why he says, in all your ways, acknowledge me. What he says about acknowledge him in all your ways, I don't care what you're doing, whether it's big or small, he says, turn to me first. Come back to the Creator. Ask the Creator how the creation needs to get instructions in order to get by. God knows where he's taking you. Remember, God created you, and he created you for a purpose. Now, the purpose sometimes involves pain, but you've got to know on the other side of pain, there lies your blessings. And so everything that you're going through right now is because God is slowly releasing something unto you. The Bible declares that, listen, your blessings is stored up, laid up. So everything is already there. God is waiting for you to move so he can begin to release them. God can't give you a Corvette if you still can't work out the speed on the Cadillac. God has to wait until you are in place. For God to give you something that you can't handle, he's not testing you. He's tempting you. Because if he give it to you prematurely, he knows you can't handle it. And if you can't handle it, you're going to do the wrong thing with it, which is going to lead you to sin. And so God is saying, I am the creator of mankind. And because I'm the creator of mankind, I know when to release things and allow them to flow. What Satan thought is that he thought by coming against God, he will stop the plan of God. You got some haters in your life that think that just because they come against you, or better yet, the plan that God has for you, that they can stop you. You better believe that if God be for you, who? Nobody can be against you. You gotta know that God says, listen, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. You gotta know that God is saying to you that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You gotta not only hear the word of the Lord, but you gotta be a receiver of it. And when you allow it to come into your heart, then, you know, faith begins to increase. And so the things that you tripped me on yesterday, you won't get me on those things today. Because today I'm ready. Today I'm standing on the word of the Lord. I may not see anything. Everything may be void. Everything may be dark. But I'm still standing on the word of the Lord. Because what I understand is, in the midst of God taking me through something, any day now, he can say, and let there be light. And the light is when God steps into your life. When God steps into your life, he makes all darkness disappear. And when darkness disappears, the stuff I used to trip over, I won't trip over that no more. The little mistakes I used to make, I won't get those no more. Now, maybe some new ones, but that's all right if they knew, because the Bible declares every day he gives new mercy daily. So I don't have to worry about my tomorrow, because I know he that owns my tomorrow. Have you ever tried God on your tomorrow? Didn't know whether or not you were going to be here, but just in case I am, I got some stuff already prayed up. Just in case I am, I already got some timber already up. And just in case I'm here, I know God, you'll make a way. And I may not have the food for my tomorrow, but you're blessing me today. And so I'm going to praise you right now, Lord. And I know you'll open a door tomorrow. I know you'll make a way out of nowhere tomorrow. I know you'll put a hedge of protection around my children. I know you'll never leave me. I know you'll be a friend that's even closer than a brother. I know these things about God. You gotta try God. And when you discover that you're on your last time, on your last dime, on your last knee, and you're really trying God, and God is saying, baby, you just don't know where you are. You messed around and began to trust me. Now you see your last dime, and now you see your last piece of bread. Watch me show up in your life. Now God has this way of always showing up at 11:59 in your life. But when he shows up at 11:59, he's real good right there. Because he's really on time. Because one more second, one more lie, one more problem, one more headache, I never would have made it without you, God. I never would have made it without you, God. Now I can praise you because I know where my help comes from. Now you can praise him because you know that God brought you this far. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. You ought to praise God this morning. You ought to praise God for bringing you this far. You ought to praise God for your struggles this morning. You ought to praise God for your headaches this morning. You ought to praise God for your heartaches, because if God had not allowed you to go through there, you never would have known just how bad he is. And if you want to see how bad God is, begin to go through something. You know, you as parents, if you want to make a parent mad, mess with their child, you need to know that you're a child of God. And every time Satan comes against you, God steps in and he says, not my baby. No, you can't have that one. I'll fight for that one. I'll release blessings to that one. Because God knows where he's taking you. He just wants you just to relax. Just relax. And as you begin to relax, God says, I got you. You are the apple of God's eye. Can you imagine that? God, who's a spirit, every time he looks at you, he thinks about this beautiful apple. Isn't that ironic? Every time God looks at you, he thinks about a fruit. Where in the garden he allowed a fruit to separate us. But this time, because you're covered with the blood of the Lamb,
hallelujah,
he says nothing can separate us.
Thank you, Lord.
No fruit, whether it was an apple or a grape in the garden, I don't know.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, nothing can separate you from the love of God. That's why God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, down and over on the cross. It's an expression of his love. And so God stands at the door and he knocks. He knocks on your heart. And he says, if any man will open the door, open your heart, he says, I'll come in and sup with you. In other words, I'll come in and be in union, relationship with you. As we open the doors of the church this morning, we want to extend an invitation to someone here this morning. And God is standing, knocking on your heart this morning. And he says, would you come? Would you come just as you are? You may be beat up, you may be broke, you may have some issues. Just come as you are. Because the truth of the matter is, we all beat up. We all have scars. We all dealing with something. The difference is, we don't have to do it alone in the body of Christ. Because God says, if you cast all your care upon me, I care about you. With everyone this morning, not sure about your relationship with God, or maybe you are sure about that relationship. You just need a church home. If that's you, we invite you to come. With everyone this morning, need a church home? We ask that you come. With everyone this morning, if you die right now, if you're not sure about your salvation, we invite you to come. Maybe you backslid into the world and you need a fresh start. Start all over again. If that's you, we invite you to come. With everyone this morning, not sure about your relationship with God? Or maybe you are. You just need a church home. With everyone,